Welcome, everybody. This is Texas Tim, aka Tim Dean, here on Holy Commutes on this Tuesday, April 19th. And as have I done in earlier podcasts this year, I have guests on, and today I have another guest that I've known for a few years, and I have here with me none other than David Wood, aka Toast, Road Toast. There's probably some other things that he's known as that I probably can't repeat on the air, but Toast, welcome to Tuesday and my podcast. Thank you so much for joining me.
It's all my pleasure, man. Thanks for having me.
Well, I'm pretty excited. I, like I said, I've known you a long time, and we've served on a committee together for a while, and you helped out getting UWIF started with us. Today I want to just get to know you and see if you can beat Connor from last week, and see if you can go the entire podcast without one cuss word. You think you can do that?
I can do that. I'm just surprised he stayed awake throughout the whole thing.
No, he was fine. Connor was fantastic. it couldn't have gone better. And so really excited to get him. Today is your day. And David, tell me first off about where are you originally from, where you grew up?
Oh, boy. Well, I'm originally from a little city called Kite, Georgia, like what you fly at the beach and stuff. Population probably like 300, very rural, very out in the sticks, if you will. I lived there until I was like 12 years old, and then the parents got a new job and moved to Statesboro, Georgia. And I've been here ever since. Went to high school here, went to college here. I work out of Savannah, but I mean, mostly my whole life's been in Statesboro ever since the move. I still go back home and visit every once in a while, but this is where I planted the roots.
So real quick, do you know the origin of the name Kite, Georgia? Because I do.
Wow. Did you do research before this or something?
No, I actually did it when you were talking.
Oh, boy. Okay. Well, no, I have no idea.
So let me just fill you in. It's actually, the town was named after a guy named Shadrick Kite, and it's spelled K-I-G-H-T when he donated the land to build the town. And he actually, upon his request, requested the simpler spelling to make it more efficient to deliver mail.
Oh, well, there's a big kite on the water tower, so that's what threw me off, I guess.
Yeah, but that's cool. I love the name.
I'm surprised something came up when you Googled it, honestly.
Dude, I am the Google master.
I will never question your talents again.
Man, like I said, I did it on the fly. So where did you go to college?
I went to college at Georgia Southern here.
Okay. What sports did you participate in growing up?
I was a tri-sport athlete. I played basketball. I did a couple more things. I played basketball for a little while, and then I figured out I was short and white, and I was like, yeah, this probably ain't for me. A lot of bad ankle rolls too that took me out of the game. I have the worst ankles in the world. Did that until high school, and then in high school I played football for a couple years. Got destroyed out there. I was a tiny dude back then. My main focus, I played baseball like my whole life growing up. And I did wrestling for 1 year. They brought it to my school our senior year. So I participated in wrestling, but baseball was my main focus. I got a couple offers to go play in college, but it was nothing big like JUCO colleges and stuff. And I was just, I wouldn't say I was burned out. It was just like, hey, I've done this my whole life, played on travel ball teams, all this other stuff. But yeah. I wanted to enjoy, 4 years of the college experience. You know what I mean?
What positions did you play playing baseball?
I played outfield.
Okay.
Yeah. I played second base until I made the move. And then I got a little quicker. And I've always had a pretty good arm, so they were like, well, we'll just stick him in the outfield. He can run stuff down and he's got a good enough arm to get it to the infield. You know, that was a big thing in middle school. Half the kids can't even throw it to the infield. So,
right.
That was my main place.
So, how old are you, Toast?
I am going to be 32 in October.
Wow, wow, wow. So,
yeah.
So, have you ever been close to getting married?
I've been close, yeah. But I was looking downrange a little bit, if you will, and it was on the rocks every now and then, you know, and I was like, I don't know if I want to make this commitment right now. A lot comes on with that.
Sure.
And I still had a little bit of a growing up to do, if you would.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, man. There was one time it was close and that fell apart, but I got a new gal now, so maybe this will be the one.
Nice. Now, does she know about your wiffle ball addiction?
Oh, she does. Yeah. Absolutely.
And she supports that?
Oh, yeah, 100%. For Valentine's Day, she got a jigsaw puzzle made. It's a picture of me in Texas, actually, pitching. And she put it together, everything, framed it for me. So she is 100% behind the addiction, for sure.
That's pretty awesome. Has she ever attended a tournament with you?
She has not, but hopefully maybe this year she can make one. Maybe one or two. I know I want to take her to U.S. if she can go, but she's got a pretty busy schedule too. So.
Gotcha. So as a wiffle ball player, this is interesting. As a wiffle ball player, tell me the pros and the cons of bringing your girlfriend / wife with you to a tournament. I see a lot of players that do that. Tell me the pros and cons from a player's perspective of bringing a girlfriend / wife to a wiffle ball tournament.
Okay, well, pros are they get to go out there and they get to see what you enjoy doing, you know, mm-hmm. and I really do enjoy doing it. And I have a great time while I'm there. So I feel like that's a good thing for them to experience, you know.
Mm-hmm.
They get to meet everyone that I've got to meet throughout, like, my career. I mean, that's the majority of my friend base is in wiffle ball. You know what I mean? I've met so many people throughout all these years of playing that, I mean, it's legitimately my whole friend base is pretty much wiffle ball players with a few people scattered around back home. Another pro is you get to travel a little bit, make a trip out of it, you know, escape the heat down here, because it's always cool whenever I go up north compared to down here.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, just the general experience of it all, you know, she gets to soak in what I enjoy doing, you know, like fell in love with it forever ago, still doing it. And I just think that's pretty important. Cons would definitely have to be, you know, you got to worry about somebody other than yourself while you're out there.
Yeah.
And it's kind of hard to stay focused, keep your head in the game. That was the only time this happened, really. I was younger and that happened and it sidetracked me. But, you know, being older now, I can kind of channel the focus and do what I need to do when I'm out there, if I need to do it. That would definitely be a con. The travel arrangements, you know, since nothing's here, we can't just drive to a tournament. We got to make a whole vacation out of it and whatnot. Another con would be some of the boys and friends that I've made along the way aren't exactly the best people to bring your girlfriend around. One would probably be the person you had last, Connor. He would be a terrible influence in all ways, shapes and forms, but I love him to death. You know what I mean? I mean, he'll eventually have to meet one day and I'll just have to get him prepared for it. But Scum God is definitely one that I would try to keep away if I could. This it's give and take a little bit, you know.
Would you warn her about the language that's going to be spewed at one of these tournaments?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I have a dirty mouth myself at times, so the language isn't going to be a big deal, and she isn't completely a saint either, so.
Hey, so tell me, I know that you're working some very odd hours, so tell everybody what it is that you're doing right now in your employment? What type of work did you do, you know, that you're doing at the moment?
Well, I'm currently employed with UPS. My boss is actually Robbie that plays with Super Savvy.
Yeah.
He's been doing it since he was like 18, I think. So he's pretty high in the company. And he asked me a year or two ago, if I wanted to come along. And I was like, yeah, why not? You know, I mean, there's a lot of good opportunities with that company. And I took it on and he was like, okay, well, you have the preload, which is what we do is we make sure the packages come off of the trucks and the airplane and they get into the package cars that go out during the afternoon. So we have to load the cars all morning and we're getting around. I mean, today I think we processed 31,000 packages.
Wow.
So we have to get those from out of the 18 wheeler trailer into the back of those package cars and then the right ones at that, you know what I mean? Which is a challenge in itself. But yeah, I usually getting up around 1 a.m., 2 a.m. On the rough days and during peak season or around Christmas. In other words, I was leaving my house at 11 o'clock the night before to get to work for the next day. So, wow.
Growing up,
it's pretty crazy. Yeah,
yeah, it is. That's crazy, and your sleep patterns are all jacked up. But growing up and being and even in your teenage years, did you have a job that you dreamed about doing one day?
I mean, I've always like been, I don't know, I've gravitated towards sports and maybe like a coach or something like that. Both of my parents were educators. So my dad taught and he coached football and baseball and all that. So I thought I wanted to go that route. And then I figured out, you know, it's not what it was made up to be. Especially, I don't know, in college, everybody's got their own agendas and whatnot. So I didn't want to fall into the politics of that stuff. So I decided to stray away from it. But I still ended up I'm coaching like travel ball teams and stuff around here. So I still got to do that on the side.
That's awesome. Tell me what college or pro sports teams that you follow that are your faves.
College-wise, definitely Georgia, defending champions this year. Took me a while to be able to say that, literally my whole lifetime, but I can say it now.
Right.
Baseball, Braves fans, Braves fan, also champions. Going to go ahead and rub that in all the Yankees fans.
Do it.
Because they deserve it, and they haven't done anything in the past 10 years, and it's embarrassing.
So true.
You know, it is what it is. Oh, especially coming from you. This is you're the Astros fan.
I am.
You know, that's very triggering to them. But we won't go down there. Never really been a Falcons fan. So the 28-3 thing never really affects me. It's more of college football for me. That's big down here in the South, as you know.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Texas is a pretty big state with football. So mm-hmm. I'm a big Bulldog fan, literally. If they're not winning, I'm just hoping that the SEC does something, continues its excellence and, you know, exposes all the other conferences for what they are, which is phony. They don't play smash mouth football.
No. And we'll welcome Texas to the conference.
Oh yeah. 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 We will. Definitely. Definitely. I just hope y'all don't enjoy winning a lot, but you're an Aggies fan.
No, so. I'm an Aggies fan. Right. No, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. You and me will welcome Texas.
To the conference. Yeah. 100%. Yeah. 100%. Y'all made a pretty smooth transition, though.
It's taken a while, but it's really helping recruiting. And the funny thing is, I was really surprised Oklahoma went because, you know, it may mean more money, but their chances for a national championship just got worse because winning. They were basically winning the Big 12 every year, and having a great year. So, chances of winning the SEC are way less than winning the Big 12. And unless you're one of the top two teams in the SEC, you're not going to have a shot at the national championship. Anyway, water under the bridge, not a big deal. So tell me how you got your start in wiffle ball.
Well, I played baseball with a kid growing up. and he had an older sister, and she dated a kid that played in some Fast Plastic tournaments. And they said one was going to be in Statesboro one weekend, and I went out and couldn't pitch. I mean, I had no idea what I was going in. Like, I thought I was going there for like the yellow stick lob toss kind of wiffle ball thing. And I get out there, and the first person I saw out there warming up pitching was Troop. And I saw, like, that was when Troop wasn't like 75 years old, and he was actually pretty effective. And I saw him throwing his pitches, and I was like, holy crap, what have I signed up for, you know? But I enjoyed it, man. It was challenging. Like, I always like to be challenged with stuff like that. I got this weird quirk about me where I got to be the best at everything, or at least, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Be up there at the top. It's a weird addiction. And I was like, you know, I could be good at this, play baseball. It's a lot like baseball. Just got to figure out what exactly is going on. And so I got home, and, you know, all else fails, Google it, YouTube it, and ended up finding a couple of Steffi's really early videos, like when he was like 140 pounds, like a little spaghetti noodle.
Right.
And he was teaching you all the grips and how to throw pitches and all this stuff and how to cut the ball. And up until that point, I had just seen what they were using, like the concrete scuffs. So took a knife out, did a little carving, and went outside, and it immediately clicked. Like, it was weird. Like, I gripped the drop ball because I thought that was like the coolest thing ever to make the ball move that way.
Yeah.
And I threw it, and it just immediately went straight in the dirt. And it took me like a month to finally figure out how to not spike the ball. And then once I figured out that, a couple more pitches, I messaged Troop, and I was like, hey, man, I remember playing against you guys. I'll have tryouts. Like, I didn't know anything about the sport. I was like, how does this work? And of course, him being the way he is, he was like, yeah, we got tryouts. I'll send you over to our personnel guy. And he gave me a Smooch's number. And Smooch was like, yeah, like, somebody wasn't going to be able to make it, blah, blah, blah. Like, come on down. And their plans was just like, let's put him in the outfield. He's a young kid. He can run around, catch some fly balls. He gets a hit every now and then. Like, great. So went down there, and this is actually where the name came from. We stopped by to eat on the way down there. And then, I mean, I've told this story a million times. She asked him for the road toast. I said, sure. Rob said, I'm calling you that for the rest of your life. But during that tournament, he had suffered a brown occlusive bite before going. And he was, like, really jacked up on pain medicine. So he literally meant what he said. He just called me toast for the rest of the trip. So everybody that was out there, I mean, I met Scott Bragg there, all the Sun Devils, the Fin Daddies, Run Factory, all the old Fast Plastic team.
Yeah.
And that's just how they knew me. So that's how it stuck anytime I went anywhere.
What was the
– showed up and showed out. And we won the first tournament. And they were like, hey, well, you can come on back. So, well, thank you.
So that very first tournament that you showed up at, you said, where you saw Troop throwing, what was the name of that original team?
Puff Puff Whiff Whiff.
Puff Puff Whiff Whiff?
Yes, Puff Puff Whiff Whiff.
Puff. Oh, okay. Is there any of those guys still play?
No, they do not.
All right.
One joined the military. One had cystic fibrosis, so his health kind of declined after a couple of years. He's still alive though, so it isn't a sad story just yet.
Yeah.
And then another one got married and ran off and retired, so I'm the last one.
So tell me what the best pitches that you throw what pitches do you throw, and which one is your money pitch?
The best pitches I throw are the ones that don't get hit, Tim. Those are the best pitches. But definitely, I would have to say I like my drop ball a lot. That's kind of what kind of brought my name around. You know, I used to throw a really good drop ball back in the day. And it's still decent, but, you know, I'm getting old now. I'm an old man. I can't do what I used to do. So I rely on a lot more pitches now, especially changing the speeds, which brings me to probably – I would think is my best pitch. It's like my little changeup that I have. It's not like everyone else's where they kind of put the finger in the ball to like alternate the rotation and slow it down and stuff. I actually kind of throw it like a 12-6 curveball in baseball. So it's just the odd pitch, and I can disguise it pretty well with my other pitches that I throw that complement it. And I would say that's probably my best pitch going for me right now.
If you could throw a pitch better, like what's the one pitch that you wish, like, man, I can't throw this very well, but I sure wish I could. What is that pitch?
A knuckleball.
Yeah?
Yeah, yeah. Not only would that make me effective in yard, but I don't know if you've seen D-Nap's fast pitch knuckleball, but that thing is disgusting.
That's cool. Do you have any arch nemesis?
No, not any arch nemesis. Now, I've had people that I've played a lot, like throughout the years, and every time we play, you know, it's always a little bit more elevated. I would definitely say anyone from the C4 gang, you know, Ty, Kev, especially Kev. It seems like I can whip his I almost slipped up there. I could whip his tail any time throughout the day. I caught myself. I'm a professional. Okay. I always seem to beat up on him during the regular season and tournaments that aren't for the big chip, but it always seems like he gets the edge on me every time I play him, and whether it's yard or fast pitch, anything like that, he turns it on, man. And I would say him or Ty or, you know, any of them, Steffi, Packer, we always know his business whenever we line up. And I think the games that we played kind of show that, you know, it's always been a dogfight.
Which great segue into my next question. Who is the hitter, and doesn't have to be a great hitter, but who's the one hitter that seems to always have your number when you're pitching?
Usually T-Wag, but he does that to everyone, so I don't feel bad about that at all.
How about flip it over? You're at the plate. Who's the one pitcher that you just can't hit, that you just like when you face him, you're going, oh, man. I mean, who's that pitcher?
D-Nap's pretty tough, but the one that's really thrown me for a loop, I would say recently, was Ryan with his little like new scuff ball that he throws. Like,
which Ryan?
See me ball. McElrath.
Okay.
He just throws it's an odd ball, and that's the new niche now. Like, if you got something that's different from what we always see, that's how you're gonna get the upper hand. And he brought up this thing last year at MAW, and I remember seeing him throwing it at UFs too. But it's disgusting, man. I mean, it'll take me a couple more times of seeing it before I feel comfortable, you know, in the dish.
Yeah. So you are going to start your own team. Tell me, but you can't choose anybody that you have ever played with. Okay. Tell me what other three players that you want to pick to fill out your four-man team, but they cannot have been someone that you have played with on a team before.
All right. Well, I would definitely go with, like I said, the arch nemesis, if you would. I'd like to play with Kev and Ty, just because I played with them a million times. We've never linked up. I mean, I played them, I think, the first year I started in fast pitch, and we've always seemed to match up every year. So it would definitely be that would take two of my spots.
Mm-hmm.
So I got two more, right?
No, one more. You're the fourth.
Oh, I'm the fourth. Okay. One more. The other one would have to be Connor. Never played with.
Really? Never played with Connor?
Nope, never played with Connor. And that's a close one. It's either between him or Johnny Whiffs. I really want to play with Johnny Whiffs too.
Okay. All right.
But yeah, I think I'd like to line it up one time with the old scum god, have a little fun in the tournament, you know?
That's awesome. That's awesome. Tell me a player that you've heard of, but you've never saw play in person, that you would love to have seen played.
I gotta think of someone. I feel like I've seen everyone play almost.
Well, it probably
except for the old guys. You know what I mean? Yeah. Dang, man, now this is a good question. I'd probably have to say, shoot, dude, you're stumping me with this one. Maybe Elvin. I've seen him a lot.
And oh my gosh,
talked about him a lot.
You're never going to believe this. That was Connor's answer immediately. Elvin Cortez.
Really?
Yes. Connor's answer immediately when I asked him, Elvin Cortez, and you just went there.
Brother from another mother, man.
That is crazy. And I got to see Elvin play, and the dude was one of the nicest guys you'll ever meet, but it was an animal throwing the ball, man. It was awesome.
Well, yeah, Troop used to make those videos, and he was like in one of the first videos I ever saw. I was like, dang, who is this dude? You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
It stuck with me.
That's pretty cool that you said that. That's awesome. Hey, you, before we came on recording, you mentioned Nico Ruiz and the trading cards. I have to ask you a question. Do you have a toast card?
I do not have a toast card. No, I do not. I plan on purchasing his new pack, I think he announced that today in his new video. So he makes another round, or I may have to send out for a special order. And
you know who has extra toast cards, right?
Who's that?
This guy.
Oh, yeah?
I do.
Well, I think I already owe you a Dr. Pepper from last year. So I'll throw another Dr. Pepper on top of that.
I know I looked at it yesterday when I talked to Connor about it, and I did confirm that I have an extra toast card that I'm going to have to, reserve for you. One extra toast card number 42. I'm going to have to reserve that one for you and bring it for you.
Name your price.
I'm doing this for fun. You don't got a price. I got you.
Okay. Well, maybe you just get a surprise too, Tim. Who knows?
All right. I don't want any of that puff, puff, bang, bang, whatever it is. So don't want any of that.
No, that was based off Puff the Magic Dragon, Tim. Come on, keep your head out of the gutter.
Okay. Hey, on the toast name, is there a preferred way you like your toast?
Oh, yeah. I can't explain how they do it. I've never been able to master it myself. But Zaxby's toast that they serve, it's almost like they burn the bread and then they just place the butter on top of it and just let it melt by itself on natural light.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't explain that good. I mean, it's good warm. It's good cold. I can absolutely destroy some Zaxby's toast.
You know, I got to try that. We have a Zaxby's here in Cedar Park, but it's on the other side of town. So there are other chicken places, finger places before I get to that. I'm going to try that out. My preferred method is I do like that Texas toast type of stuff, but my preferred toast method, once it's buttered up and it's got that good texture, I like to sprinkle some garlic powder on it to give it that garlicky taste.
Oh, anything with garlic wins. So yeah, you got, I'm behind that 100%.
Yeah.
Also, French toast, not bad.
Ah. Yeah.
It's a fast second for me.
I got you. Hey, so tell everybody about, you had surgery and not too long ago. Tell me about what surgery you had to have and the ups and downs of recovery.
Well, I've always been a little self-conscious, Tim. So I decided to go from an A cup to a B cup. No, I'm just kidding. I had to get Tommy John because I blew my arm out like an idiot. Cause I didn't take care of myself.
Yeah.
It was in Texas 2019 in the semifinal game against the Legends of Whiffs. And I can tell you the exact pitch who I was facing, change up against Jimmy Flynn. threw it. Alarm caught on fire. I knew something was wrong. I went to the dugout after I finished the innings. And I was like, guys, I did something. I'm not pulling myself because Josh had thrown four games the day before and Jordan had thrown three. I was like, it doesn't even matter what I did. It would cause y'all 10 times the pain that I'm feeling now if y'all even attempted to throw. So I'll tough it out, go again. Jordan, arm sleeve, put a little tiger bomb on there. I was like, go get him, champ, you know? But yeah, I hurt my elbow. And the year after that, you know, COVID came around and I was lucky enough to schedule it the day before Valentine's Day, 2020. And COVID came around, like, you know, in March. So all surgeries like that were postponed and everything. So I got really lucky in that regard.
You did.
And wheels were kind of down and, you know, I had nothing else better to do besides actually rehabilitate it, you know, and go to all my physical therapy sessions. And in like 3 or 4 months, I was back to throwing a baseball. Granted, it was like 5 feet, just little tosses with like a tennis ball to begin with and a baseball, and worked my way back to, I think around month 7, I went up to a yard tournament. And I pitched 2 games 7 months off the table.
Wow.
And I didn't pitch that year at UIFS. Decided to sit that one out. I didn't want to, but Jordan was like, dude, don't throw this year. Like, take care of yourself. We're going to need you in the future. We got this. And that's probably the smartest thing anyone's ever said to me, because you know me, I wanted to go out there and throw, but I wasn't right. Quite ready yet for fast pitch. But yeah, I mean, the next time I pitched was, it went from Texas in 2019 to MAW last year at opening day. Was the first time I had pitched a real live action fast pitch game.
All right. I'm going to do some short answers, questions for you right now. Other than wiffle ball, do you have any other interests or hobbies?
Yeah, I like fishing, the good old the country boy stuff. Fishing, hunting, not so much. More bird hunting than like deer hunting and stuff.
Yeah,
I can't sit still for that long. Anything I have to do on the water, in the boat, at the beach, stuff like that. Anything to kind of keep me from inside. Play video games with the boys every now and then.
Yeah, I can hear. I hear the birds. You're outside now. I can hear the birds in the background.
Oh yeah, man. It's a nice sunshiny 82 degree day out here. So get a little vitamin D in. It's nice and pretty outside.
Toast.
And my cat terrorizes me whenever I'm on the phone inside. So
oh, gotcha. So Toast, if you could have a superpower, what would you choose for yourself?
I would fly.
Nice. Speaking of birds, nice. Like it. How about if you were an ice cream flavor, what flavor would Toast be?
It's cookies and cream.
Oh, easy. Smooth. Here's one. If you were a comic villain, who would you be?
Ooh, I like the Joker, man. The Joker's always kind of intrigued me.
That's nice. That, you know, that's Connor's pick too, by the way.
Jesus Christ. I really should have paid more attention.
I don't think you're going to pick what he picked on this, this next one. What actor would you like to see play David Wood in a movie?
I'm going to say they got to kind of look like me, you know? So that's a tough one. Maybe David Spade.
All right. I could see that. I could see it. Yeah. I could see it.
It's not bad.
No, not bad. So what is your favorite type of food?
Seafood.
Oh, love, yeah, seafood. It's good. Yeah, love it. And you live close enough to the to water that you could get
oh, yeah, stuff. We get the good stuff.
Yeah. Who is your favorite superhero?
The Crimson Chin from Johnny Bravo.
Oh, wow. Who is that? And then you went Bravo. I got you.
Yep. Johnny Bravo.
That's good. What's your dream car that you would love to have one day?
If we're being realistic here,
whatever, dream.
Dream car. I mean, you know, the I think Lamborghini is always every boy's dream car, but I would settle for one of the new Corvettes, man. Those things look slick, you know.
Yeah. Are you into any TV shows right now? What's your favorite?
TV shows, I'm not into one per se right now, but a couple favorites would be Black Mirror. Black Mirror is great. Game of Thrones, American Horror Story.
Okay.
A lot of binge watching happens over here.
Yeah. If you could play in a tournament that you've never played in, where would you like to go?
Probably NWLA. Just try it out.
Nice. Yeah, I like that. I was thinking about trying to get us a team, but it's falling on the same weekend as one of our state tournaments here. So.
Yeah, you better take care of what you're doing, man. You're doing some good stuff out there.
Now, I'm going to put you on the spot. What's the sweetest grass you've ever played wiffle ball on?
Grass. I mean, it's got to be the U.S. field. Oh, easy.
Okay.
It's U.S. field. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So, what's the strangest food combination that you enjoy?
Oh, boy.
You have something odd.
Yeah, I mean, I put cheese that's in my macaroni and cheese.
Nice, got a little crunch in it.
Yeah, you gotta add some texture, man. I have a refined palate, Tim. Okay, don't let my voice fool you. I'm a very intelligent human being.
I like it. I'm gonna have to try
very classy.
That.
Very I'm classy.
Try that, or even put some goldfish in it. Right.
Oh, there you go. Now you're thinking.
Yeah. That is fantastic. All right. So tell me what your favorite thing about playing medium pitch / yard is. What's your favorite thing?
Probably the different crowd. It's a lot of the older gentlemen I came into the game playing against, you know? Mm-hmm. And it's kind of a whole different group of guys. That's fun. And kind of the laid back vibes that come from it, you know. I mean, it's you're out there, you're not killing yourself trying to throw the ball a million miles an hour. You have to lock in because you're playing, but you're not as quite as intense as you are trying to catch up to a 90 mile an hour wiffle ball. You know what I mean? I would say probably just the chill atmosphere.
You know, that's very similar to the answer Connor gave. So just letting you know, y'all are actually parallel in some things. Just don't know how this creepy that is.
I don't know if this is good or bad,
but
probably bad.
What is your least favorite part about medium pitch / yard style?
The fact that I can't throw a knuckleball. We'll circle back around to pitches. I feel like if I could do that, I mean, if you got a knuckleball, you're effective.
Gotcha. So. Okay. So let's ramp it up to the fast pitch game. Tell me what's your favorite thing about playing fast pitch?
It's the competitiveness. It's the intensity. It's nothing else besides that. You know, that's when you go out there as mono and mono. I'm bringing my stuff. You're bringing yours. Let's do it. Let's duke it out.
Yeah. How about your least favorite thing about fast pitch? And I think I know this.
Least favorite thing is the way my body feels the next day.
There you go.
Well. Yeah, I know Connor probably said something similar to that, but I mean, look at him. He's in pain at all times. He has to be.
Yeah. Well, that is a fact for sure. You know, I know that the fast pitch definitely plays a bigger toll on people's arms and bodies, and there's a recuperation time, and you gotta, it's a long season, right? You know, Connor and I were talking about this. You got to pace yourself. You know, you got the first MAW tournament, I think, here in a couple of weeks, and that's a fast pitch event. And if you play in that tournament series, it's a long year, right? So you're fixing you got to end it in October. And so you've got to pace yourself. You know, they had that draft tournament here a couple of weeks ago where a lot of the top pitchers just didn't throw, wasn't needed really, and keep your arm rested. So it definitely plays a toll on people's body. So, hey, I want to thank you for coming. I don't want to take up any more of your time. We've gone about 40 minutes, and that's about my limit I like to do on the podcast. We could sit here and visit and talk wiffle ball all day long. Maybe I'm going to make a point to one day get you and Connor on one of my podcasts. I know y'all have been on before, but maybe
you already know we're going to have to do that after dark.
No, like, and that's, but you know what? I still want to do it as a no cuss zone. And let's talk about random stuff and be interesting. So we'll do that. We'll set that up sometime. And that could be a lot of fun. So
I'm with it.
So anyway, David, I really appreciate all your time. And if you ever want to come to Texas, let me know. I got a place for you to stay here. So if you ever just wanted to come down and play in a tournament, hook up with somebody that needs a player or something, come on down. I've got a place for you. Always got a place to stay if you want to come down.
I appreciate that, man. I really do. I'm going to make it one of your tournaments one of these days. But
that would be awesome.
This crazy schedule.
I understand.
Got to find the time.
I understand. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in for this edition of Holy Commutes here on April 19th. I've had fun with David Toast Wood. Been a lot of fun. And you guys, we have, I think, one or two more of these coming up on Tuesday. But in the meantime, thank you for tuning in. I am out.